Hello, my name is Dr. Leah Miller. I am a philosopher, researcher, and general gadabout in Brisbane, Queensland. My area of expertise is philosophy of play and games, as well as a growing interest in education. That's me. Who are you?
Well, my name is Dr. Luke Zaffer, and I am also a philosopher, researcher, teacher at the University of Queensland in Australia. And my specialty is deliberative democracy and citizenship education. So it was always my intention to overthrow democracy at some point. And, you know, it's just a really slow rock to roll up this hill.
I see. Sounds very deliberative. Okay, we'll get into that as we go, I'm sure.
Yes.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, I thought that we might start by discussing a conspiracy and figuring out whether or not there's any meat on those bones, whether or not we should be taking them seriously.
Lovely. I love a good conspiracy. I'm all for it. Did you know that Australia isn't real?
Yeah. I mean, I am a paid actor when I'm not being a virtual intelligence.
No, but seriously, what's a meaty one? What's one that really straddles the line between truth and untruth?
I like moon landing hoax. How about that one?
Yeah, okay, cool.
All right, so what do we know about the moon landing hoax? We've got this idea that in 1969, the American government set up this soundstage instead of the... Well, instead of actually going to the moon and developing rocketry and all the stuff that was required to get there, they just, you know, they had Hollywood. So they could simply set up a camera and be like, oh, wow, hello, moon man. And they've got guys sort of jumping about and they might have wireframes. And I suppose there's some evidence based on the footage that we're given to show that it was fake.
Well, I mean, to give credibility to this, this is a time where... the film and television industry is growing in leaps and bounds. They are getting more sophisticated with their CG, well, with you know, technology in making things appear to be one thing or another. At the same time, we also have like a story that we have to tell in order to get to the moon to say that we advance so far, so quickly with our aeronautics, that it's almost unbelievable. And then, of course, looking at some of the footage, some of the photos from that first time, we begin to ask questions and just go, well, look, that looks fake. It doesn't look like anything's moving the way we expect it to look. Also, who's holding the camera? If this is the first person on the moon, just a, you know, quick heads up, who's getting all these wonderful shots? I don't know. And then there's also a bunch of stuff about, you know, how the flag is moving and the light and the shadows on the ground appear to be more attuned. We can explain them easier, in other words, through a soundstage rather than being on some sort of floating rock in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, if you look at some of the photos, there is... there are like seems to be multiple light sources coming at the same time, and the shadows aren't consistent either way. I don't know. I don't do physics.
It seems weird, right?
And like the shadows are pointing in different directions. There are some that seem to be going like northeast, and others that are going southeast. And shouldn't there just be one light source?
Yeah, for sure.
And when we look at, I think that you make a really good point about being skeptical about our technology, because in, I believe, 1961, we hadn't even left the planet's atmosphere.
Exactly, right? So, but then you like map it against the film and TV technology. We started filming, late 19th century, very late 19th century with moving images. And it took us almost 100 years or 60 or 70 years, I don't know timelines that well, to get to something like, movies with sound attached. And then we get something like TV and then very slowly color TV. It progresses in a way that makes sense to us. And so it also makes sense that around this time, the last several decades, we've got science fiction starting to grow. And so it seems like something achievable in 69 to pretend to be on the moon.
All right, I'm going to approach this with like pure curiosity here and see where we go. on each of these things. So we've got, without saying that the moon landing is true or not, we've got evidence like, well, the shadows are wrong. We've got the idea that the technology wasn't there 10 years previously, and our progression in technology just hasn't been that strong that quickly. What else have we got? What other evidence casts doubt on it?
I suppose there's also a whole production value for the moon landing. It was broadcast on national TV or international TV, I suppose, at that time.
Propaganda.
It was a big media event. And we had the president of the United States come out and go, "We're going to land on the moon." And then they did that. In a time when there was civil unrest, there was war, there was a bunch of things going on, that this seemed like a very convenient distraction to kind of pull people together. So I guess what I'm getting at is that there's a reason for making sure something like this happens at this point in time. Like, it was very convenient that the moon landing happened in 69.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the height of the Cold War, okay? The Soviets and the Soviets are doing their own space race. They've got, they had Sputnik up at the time, I think.
Yep, so they beat us into space, or us. They beat the US into space.
Goodness, yes, they beat Australia. What were we doing? We were playing cricket on us. We were playing cricket on a solar dish at the time, I think.
Yeah. We were great. the Russians beat the US into space with Sputnik, and Yuri? I can't remember
Yuri Gagarin.
His last name. First man in space. Thank you very much. And so there was a vested interest in the US getting into the moon first, because we're all about, you know, owning land or something like that.
Point. Capitalism is at stake, because if the Americans can't beat the Soviets at building technology, the whole argument about capitalism breeding innovation is proven to be false. So they must do it first.
So this is a social war as well as the Cold War going on. We also had, you know, massive events like May 68, just a year previous, where we had across many Western countries, lots of civil unrest, lots of protests at universities and against war and against inequality. And so we have this kind of world that is in tension. And then, you know, a year later, we have this kind of crystallizing moment. And if you talk to anyone who was alive during 69, who watched the moon landing live, they talk about it as a unifying experience. And so, again, we have another thing to add to the pile that says this was useful. This was very well timed and used very effectively lack of a better term, perhaps, Western capitalist propaganda.
This is a really good point, because I have talked to my mother about this thing, and she was like 12 years old when the moon landing supposedly happened. They were all glued to their TVs in the same way that that we were glued to our TVs on September 11, 2001. It was our establishing character moment, except ours was disaster instead of boomer magnificence.
Yeah. I just also wanted to point out, I don't know what, when was the supposed moon landing? What date do you know?
It's July 31st.
Okay. So at the time then, what we've got is it Richard Nixon is the president of the United States at that time?
No, it was Kennedy.
It was a Kennedy?
Yeah.
Oh, so Nixon got in afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, okay, we can work around that. I was going to say how shifty Nixon is.
Nixon was 72, I believe.
Yeah, okay. So I was going to say how shifty Nixon is, but with Kennedy, we've got this kind of underlying set of conspiracies already with the Kennedy family. And we go, okay, something is suspicious there in that he did, he was one of those beloved presidents of the United States. You either loved him or hated him. He was assassinated. And so there's conspiracy there. Did he do too much? Did he not do enough? There just seems to be a lot of...
I'm 100% wrong. Okay, sorry. I had to double check that. You were correct in the first place.
Nixon. Nixon, now see how shifty Nixon is. We already know that he was keeping secrets, that he's got stuff with the CIA happening. If you are Nixon in 69, you're like, I need a win here, guys. Let's put a man on the moon. And a bunch of scientists come up and go, we have no idea how to do that. And you've got Hollywood happening. Then chuck $1 million into a high quality soundstage and you've got yourself a moon landing that solidifies not just a nation, but a whole world.
Yeah, that is totally Nixon's jam. He would have no compunctions about lying about this sort of thing, especially if it meant fooling the Russians.
Yeah. Okay, so we have motive. We have ability. What else do we need to start seriously questioning whether the moon landing happened or not?
Well, okay, so I think that we also need to look at whether or not... All right, so we need to look at whether or not there's anything that disqualifies this from being a meaningful theory, and what's more likely, you know, whether or not this plausible scenario that we've come up with is actually more or less likely than actually going to the moon.
Okay. So what do we, in other words, what do we have to believe in order to believe that this was faked?
Well, I think it's useful to start what do we have to believe in to think that it was, that actually occurred.
Okay, sure.
So we have to believe that the technology was there to both launch a rocket into space, land on the moon, take a camera, take footage or audio of it, and then make it back.
Yep. Well, we have to believe that they can do that with the power of a computer that was less powerful than my current phone.
Probably.
You know, so the phone in my hand, more powerful than all the computers they used to launch that rocket.
Well, what do you need the computer to do in order to achieve this goal?
I honestly have no idea. I imagine that there's math involved and then explosions, and that's the extent of my rocket science. But what I do know is that my phone is very, very powerful, and yet some places I can't make a phone call because there's no reception, and that's on planet Earth.
So my understanding is that, like, I have heard, this is more powerful than the thing we used to get to the moon. But, like, what do we actually need the computers to do? Because I keep thinking you need the computers on the rocket to give you diagnostic information.
Yeah.
And everything else is a matter of mechanical parts like airplanes. Okay. And we've been flying airplanes for a really long time without needing computers. They just make the job easier.
Yeah, but I heard that we don't know why planes can fly. You know, like, we know what the wing does, but we're like, but it shouldn't happen, but it does, and that's science.
Are you sure that's just because we're philosophers and not scientists, and, you know, we're automatically banned from knowing facts?
Well, I mean, look, what I'm saying is, in lieu of my ignorance, what I've done is I've collected a bunch of hearsay and comments that feel right to me. I don't know how a commercial airline gets off the ground. And so when someone says, yeah, we don't know, we're still trying to figure it out, I'd be like, that aligns with how my brain works. So
yeah, but I look at a rocket and I think, okay, so there's a big boom happening at the bottom of this thing and it's just exploding its way out of the atmosphere. I don't imagine that's hard to brute force the science to get you out there without just exploding into a pile of debris.
Okay, so I suppose many of the calculations in actually hitting the moon are like, what angle do we launch the rocket at? How much thrust at what time? They figured that out already beforehand, and we could probably largely figure that out on paper.
Yes, but we could do a mathematical equation sorting out, hey, yeah, the moon is like 1 million kilometers away. That'll take us like, you know, a week and a half in change in a Corvette, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, so maybe when we talk about the computers that launch the rocket that goes to the moon being X powerful, what we're just talking about is how many computations they can do. And so not so much what are their capabilities, but how long did it take them to figure out? Because I suppose we could do the same calculations on a supercomputer and get it done in a couple of days. This might have taken them 6 months, but the same calculations are being applied. It's the same math.
Yeah, so they do all this stuff in advance. And my suspicion is that the computers are actually used to track their progress and to give them diagnostic information about their own ship rather than controlling things.
So maybe it's like maybe a fair thing to say that actually we didn't need that much technology. It's more about the math.
Yeah.
More about the calculations.
And we've been, and like we made up math like at least 50 or 60 years ago. So we could do that.
At least 50 or 60 years ago, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some Greek philosopher in the 1940s, someone, you know.
No, we've had math for a solid few thousand years. I think by now we could probably calculate the distance between here and the moon and figure out the trajectory to get something there. Okay, so let's we might have actually circled around to the fact that actually technologically we probably could have gotten to the moon in 69.
Yeah, and we also had the technology to, you know, dispense air in a way, like we could keep air in a cabin. We've been doing it with submarines. So
that's true. How long have we had submarines for? That's like a US Civil War thing, right?
Yeah, like at least 100 years. I mean, like the good working ones probably would have been in like the, you know, World War II, but that's at least 20 years before the space flights.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So we've been in like hostile environments before where there is no air or other things where we have to be in a small capsule. Maybe we could actually do this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's plausible to do it, but you know, it's still a pretty far out thing to do. And I would think setting up a soundstage would have been easier.
Oh yeah, definitely easier. So I guess the question is there anything that would make us tilt one way or the other, you know, and say, hey, this incredibly plausible scenario of a soundstage in Hollywood is just more likely?
You know what? I don't think so. Looking at all the facts, I feel like the technology was there for either scenario. So either scenario seems pretty plausible at this point based on the technology alone.
So we could do both. You wouldn't go either way on it?
I feel like, you know, looking at the technology, the video technology of 69 versus our rocket technology of math technology of 69, both seem pretty plausible.
Well, I want to say that I think there's one big piece of evidence that we've overlooked here that points us towards it actually happening versus not. And it's not technological, it's political. Right.
Okay.
So we came up with the idea that Nixon had every reason to lie about this in the Cold War because there was just so many benefits to doing that. Right.
Absolutely. And he's shifty.
Yeah. Now, we had radar technology for a good 20 years beforehand. You know, we've been able to track things in space, underwater, all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Now, if this hadn't happened, the Russians would have known. They would have been tracking this thing the entire time. They've been using their radar dishes, looking at this thing, going off into space, tracking it with their own things. And the moment it didn't happen, the moment they're looking at this moon landing thing, they'd been like, that's bullshit. That's not true because we can't see it here on our radar screens. Now,
okay.
Now, so they would have shouted that to the whole world and called America out for being lying capitalist pigs. Now, there is one, we could probably amend this scenario to say the Russians were in on it, but then everything else becomes exponentially more complicated.
That's what I was going to say. So in order for that, okay, so you're right, because if we've got this kind of not just war, but political war going on between Russia and the US, and they're racing to the moon, and that was stated, there was a race to the moon in lots of papers across the globe, and the US made it first. If Russia had evidence to suggest that they were faking it, they would have broadcast that to all parties concerned. And so in order for the fake to, in order for it to have been faked, we either need to accept one of two things. Either Russia is entirely incompetent and didn't have radar, which seems unreasonable to assume because they were still a dominant force, or they were in on it. Which also seems really implausible, right? Like the US and Russia historically haven't played very well together.
Yeah, they were like at each other's throats from like 1945, even before the war.
Yeah. I'm gonna take one final stab at this though and say, yeah, but Luke, you're forgetting about the New World Order, the global government that in fact runs everything. Of course, US and Russia are in on it because they're just pieces in the game being moved by the same side.
Ah, okay. So, well, if we're going to introduce facts in the scenario now, I think that the New World Order or deep state conspiracies are their own thing. But
okay.
I think introducing one conspiracy to bootstrap another one is probably more than we could handle in one discussion. All
right, we'll circle back to the deep state in another app, okay? Yeah. I'll just leave that and secretly think that I've won, and we'll keep talking about this for now.
All right, fair enough.
But okay, you're right. It seems implausible to suggest that during the Cold War, both Russia and the US were in on faking it for the advantage of just the US.
Yeah. So I did think you brought up a really good point there, though, is that there is a possibility that Russia didn't have the technology to track it. That's
for sure.
But honestly, I think that's a matter of fact, and I don't know it. So I'll have to check and come back to that later. Did Russia have radar?
Yeah, look, I feel like they would have, and yet that is an assumption, right? That is a fair assumption. And I'm basing that mostly off Dr. Strangelove. I'll be honest here. That is the extent of my Cold War knowledge. But, you know, I think it would also be reasonable to assume that. But barring some extra, investigation, which would be warranted, but I feel like we could safely say that Russia had radar technology.
Yes, I think I think a lot of the technological differences between America and Russia in the 1960s was a matter of like brute force versus finesse. I feel like the Russians could do something quicker and dirtier, but run into more technical problems along the way, whereas the Americans would sort of get it right more or less the first time.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got these two fairly plausible then political stories to tell. On the one side, we've got, well, look, we're in this race with another country and they wouldn't have corroborated our facts. And so because they accepted that we got to the moon first, then we have to accept it actually happened, versus the idea that Nixon was shifty and it fits into his wheelhouse to lie and to make that up. How do we weigh these two sides up?
Well, that is the question, isn't it? Because we don't want to present them like they're equally good. We need to look at the evidence in favor of each one rather and the evidence against each one rather than saying this pokes a hole in this one. But
sure.
So I think that we can say, yes, we did have the technology. So
yes.
That's a point in favor of it actually happening.
Okay.
And I do think
okay. So the point that I keep harping back on is the idea that Nixon was shifty.
Yeah.
And that it's in his wheelhouse to be shifty, and therefore this is a plausible account. Clearly, this is an ad hominem. This is a personal attack on an individual. And no matter how shifty we actually feel he is, it's not a great argument, especially if it has no further evidence. So if there was any evidence that connected Nixon to, say, directly to Hollywood or directly to some sort of engagement with NASA. Because, of course, the other thing we haven't touched on yet is in order for the moon landing to have been faked, everybody at NASA has to be in on it. And everyone associated with that production has to be in on it as well.
Well, we could also say that, you know, there's a whole bunch of low-level engineers thinking that they're doing a thing and they get hoodwinked too. And there's only a couple of top brass that actually know that it's not happening, including our fake astronauts. But
potentially.
I think that our way around this ad hominem attack is that this was a democratic initiative by Kennedy in 1961. It started really early. So the idea that Nixon started it when he got into power in 69 is nonsense, because this is years of windup.
That's true. He's just reaping the benefits at the end. But the race started in the early 60s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay. I think that you make a really good point. The idea that it, it's all a conspiracy based on Nixon. It's an ad hominem attack with no substantiating evidence behind it.
Yeah. So we've got our opposing position that Russia wouldn't have corroborated a US win seems to be based on a form of logic. I can't see it too much of a fallacy in that. In that, I would accept that claim that if we have a race between these two countries and one succeeds, the other one would pull them up on a fake if they realized it was fake.
Yeah, they were engaged in a culture war. So this is something that there is no benefit to letting this lie slide when it's such a big one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I have no evidence to back this up, but I think that this is entirely consistent with the behaviors of both governments and doesn't rest on the character assassination of either one.
Yeah, I feel like the onus of proof is on the other side to prove that this is not the case, because this seems to be the case prima facie, right?
Yes. Oh, the other thing that we forgot to discuss is things like the shifty looking moon landing shots and the shadows and stuff. But
sure.
I didn't want to get too much into it because I don't have a good knowledge of how sun and light works. But sure. That's also why I'm not too worried about it. I know that if you shine a light on something or you have two light sources, then you can get shadows doing weird things. And when you've got the sun and the earth bouncing light behind you, then you are going to have weird results with light.
For sure. And okay, so I too have little knowledge of how light works and even less knowledge of what happens in space. But I have watched a series of the videos from the ISS, the International Space Station, where they do scientific experiments. And oftentimes the best part about those is that the results are phenomenally weird. When he wrings out the water in the rag and the water sticks to his hands, that seems odd to me. And it's an example of how things work differently in space to how they work on Earth. And so things are going to work differently on the moon to how they work here, including light, including how the flag sits, including what happens with dust. And so in the absence of our knowledge, we seem to be building up this other body of knowledge that is consistent and therefore seems credible at the moment. And I guess that lack of knowledge has to cut both ways. So while I can't confirm that this is exactly what the moon would be like, I also have no legs to stand on to say this is not how the moon would be like. So the weirdness in any of the footage shouldn't help either side, really. Without actual scientific knowledge as to the how that's relating to the moon.
Yeah, I mean, and I suppose we could plausibly start to create analogs in real life of what happens in a vacuum to a flag.
Mm-hmm.
We have ability to replicate a lack of gravity on a plane and things like that. So some experiments would either corroborate or disconfirm one theory or the other.
So one of my favorites, of course, is Brian Cox. He does an experiment in this giant vacuum chamber where he drops a bowling ball and a feather. And it's a principle we've had in physics for many, many, many years, that in a vacuum, a bowling ball and a feather will fall at the same rate. And you just go, well, that's just dumb. Of course it won't. And then he does it in this giant vacuum chamber. And the video is extraordinary. I show it to as many people as humanly possible, because in the vacuum, this bowling ball and this feather, they drop it at the same time and they hit the ground at the same time, and it's magical. It's amazing. It's proving a theory that before we had that kind of spot, we couldn't. And so that also, I guess, goes or gives us some evidence against any sort of like common sense argument in lieu of proper scientific evidence or proper scientific knowledge. If we go, yeah, but it just makes sense to me that that's wrong, it kind of weakens that stance.
No, I think this is a really good point. My knowledge is not great on this issue. Common sense is not going to help me here. My experience.
Exactly.
Because I think common sense, when we talk about common sense, it's just experience and education.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's really mean the number of times where we say, oh, that person's lacking common sense. But if they've never done it before or never seen it before, then how can we possibly accuse them of being stupid like that?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like maybe we need to just generally don't know, devalue. I mean, common sense is a weird concept anyway. We shouldn't get too tied in with that because I think there's a whole other thing on, well, what is common sense?
Oh, that's a good topic for another time.
Maybe we could talk about that another time.
What is?
It seems like, really, unfortunately, that this conspiracy is getting away from us.
All right.
That it seems more and more plausible that actually maybe we just landed on the moon.
Yeah. I think that ultimately I'm going to land on the idea that we did land on the moon on the balance of evidence, because while we can find means, motive, and opportunity for it being fake, we just don't have any evidence behind it. We don't have the smoking gun here.
Yeah. And also we can find the same, we can find means, motive, and opportunity for landing on the moon.
Yeah.
And there also seems to be corroborating evidence to that.
Yes, there's no corroborating evidence to it being faked. And that's where where I think we have to land on this one.
Except for, as you well pointed out, other conspiracy theories.
Oh, yes. Okay. And we could bootstrap one with another. Then we would have to have the smoking gun for at least the one at the end of this infinite regression.
Yeah, the infinite regress problem. It is a problem. It's a problem for everyone.
Okay, so if we end up in the center of the hollow earth where the deep space lizards are controlling us, and we find some of these people along with Jules Verne, I'm certain that it'll all come out properly.
Okay, well, I think on that, we should break here and start our expedition post-haste to the center of the world.
All right, I'm going to get my shovel.
Great, awesome. I'll see you in a five.
All right.